You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. We are back and doing it after taking much of the week just because I needed it. Mental, all of that. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day except for this week. And a couple of days last week, and you know how it goes. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Wanted to let that man on the ground thing really just last, although the intention is to do it again on Saturday from Indiana. We'll see. That might be just a Sunday deal because we're coming back the same day. But it is Thursday, so we are going to do the Michigan mailbag. Got so many questions. We're going to have to race through them a lot here. So let's just go ahead and get to it, starting with James Crudup at our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Storming off the field in frustration after the game to A.J. Henning liking tweets about getting the ball more if he transferred to Illinois. Do you feel the staff knows about players being frustrated in their roles? How do they, or do they, you think they address it? I think it's one of those things that it's the nature of college football. I think it's something that Michigan is not the only team dealing with that type of thing. If I'm A.J. Henning, I'm just sitting tight, right? You're going to get plenty of time. You know, really, there's been barely anyone featured at this point. He's going to be heavily featured, I would imagine, as the weeks go by. Haven't really needed him. So that's the thing when you're kind of a niche player. Derek Moore, man, just wait your turn. I don't know that I read that much into it, honestly. But, just wait your turn. You're gonna be fine. You're going to be a guy that's going to be starting for multiple years, probably. So take that feeling and bottle it up. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Jim doesn't have a history of running up scores just for the sake of it, but looking a bit ahead, do you think he ever takes his foot off the gas against MSU again? No, I do not. I think that I feel like they did kind of take their foot off the gas, feeling a 16-point lead was good enough. I don't think that they will ever do that against them again. He continues prediction time. Which game will be JJ's first 300-yard passing game? Could be this week, to be honest. Although, it could have been Maryland. It could have been, it's connecting on those long ones. This is around the time of year that I think that you start seeing them. I think this would be a good time to get them started. I'll say Indiana. I think Indiana could be it. Donovan Edwards' first 100-yard rushing game. That one might take a while because Blake Corum is still a thing. I think he'll get one this year. Let's say Penn State. I could see Penn State being an interesting game where they use two different guys. I know the pass defense is, maybe not Penn State. Let's go Rutgers. Rutgers sounds more right. Rutgers, let's do that one. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. Is this the game Andrell finally is more involved? Seems like a good time to unleash the pass game. See, there you go. Does the O-line help mauling people now that Keegan is back? They seem to click versus Iowa. It seems like it. I mean, this is like the first time, except for like a handful of plays in week three, that we finally saw the entire offensive line together. So I think that this would be, I think that, you know, against a tough Iowa front, it was a very good sign. It's one of the many reasons why I came away from that game being like, all right, this was good. I know a lot of people don't have that feeling. I walked away from that game being like, really, like, this is what I've wanted to see. As far as Andrell is concerned, it's kind of hard to say which receiver is going to break out when. It just kind of all depends. I mean, it was good to see him get that one big catch against Iowa. They hope to keep him coming because Michigan has a great jump ball guy and they don't use him. It's been a thing for a very long time. You know, Nico Collins existed. So, I think that this could be the week, but we'll see. You know, you never know. You know, they could just run the ball with impunity against Indiana, and any team that can do that is going to. You know what I mean? Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Which units, in your opinion, have performed better or worse than expected? We'll start with that before I continue to his other ones. I think that the secondary as a whole has performed really great. I know there are some people that are freaking out. There's another question about it down below. I think the secondary has been phenomenal. And you can sit there and you can wring your hands about Maryland or even late Iowa, it's not exactly the same. I addressed that in the last podcast. But when you're Iowa and you're in desperation mode, you're gonna find ways to hurl the ball downfield a lot. That's just what's gonna happen. So I think the secondary's been better. The linebackers haven't been quite as good, and the receivers haven't been quite as good. That would be that. Over under 5 CJ Stokes carries at Indiana. I'll go under. I think Donovan Edwards will get those carries, and maybe CJ Stokes gets 1 or 2 or 3. But I don't know about 5. Number 3, back up QB throws over under 9. I'll stay under. I feel like this is a game that unless I don't have this game getting way out of hand. I know like it's Indiana. I know people are going to be like, ugh, but I don't remember what I predicted when I gave my score prediction to Trent Newt, but it was something like 35-17 or something like that. That's like the type of game I expect it to be. Finishing us out in segment 1, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Well, here you go. Why does everyone freak out about 2 garbage time TDs instead of looking at 95% of the game? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, there was the moment when I was on the sidelines and I said, this has the possibility of getting really Kinnick in a hurry because Michigan just kind of hadn't put the game away. But it was one of those things where I spoke to someone before the game that's on the staff and they were like, we get this to 2 possessions. Indiana ain't coming back from that. 3 possessions, it's fine. It's done, right? The game was about as close to over as possible. If Iowa would have actually scored that other touchdown, it's a different story. Then Michigan would have had to answer, and then the game would have been put away, just kind of like what basically did happen. But you have to look at every game and every team is a microcosm of what it is, right? Like, and that when you look at Iowa, I mean, they probably weren't coming back from that game barring a turnover and or a bad special teams play. And Michigan controlled the game. People that sit there and score watch and say, oh, 27-14, Michigan kind of struggled. Michigan did not kind of struggle. So that's a fun narrative. All right, let's continue on. We've got so many more questions left. There were 44 in the queue today. So although we have some repeats here and there. But before we do, listen, these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's so easy to create a post on LinkedIn Jobs. Anyone can do it. So go and add your job and add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. You want to finish the year strong, just like the Michigan football team. And if you have the right team member, they can help you do that. That's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number 1 in delivered in quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. Post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, I want to, before we continue on, I want to bring attention to the shirt that I am wearing. It says Sack the Stigma here. It's this is something that you'll be able to get available at MDEN. All 100% of the proceeds go to University of Michigan Athletics Mental Health. So I highly recommend it. If you can, get your hands on one of these babies at MDEN, they should be there soon. I don't believe they are yet, but they will be soon. So just a little sneak preview. Sack the Stigma. All right, let's go to our Victor's Valiant Jim at Jim in the North. Do you think they'll incorporate more designed runs for JJ, almost like they used Denard? He's not Denard fast, but he's still very fast. I think that part of it is not having Cade as your backup, just in case. As well as, I mean, they had, I think, 2 designed runs against Iowa upon my rewatch. I think that Penn State would be kind of the moment you start to see those kind of come out, right? I think that would be the moment to start using those. But I feel like they're not going to use them if they don't feel like they need to, right? Why pull, Why use ammunition that you don't need, essentially, is I think the way Michigan's looking at it. Is this offense trending to be everything you think it could be? Do you think that they'll be able to score regularly versus Ohio State's defense? I mean, we'll see, but I think, yes. I would have liked to have seen the one, there's two things that I'm looking for. I would like to see that, the pass game is capable. I know it is, but I'd like to see it being capable of being like a 300 yard a game type if they were wanting to. You know, 27 against Iowa, that's, I know, a tougher defense probably than Ohio State's would be, but I want to see them get into the 40 range, and it would have if they would have not settled for field goals in that game, right? So I want to see Michigan. Michigan's had to settle for field goals a little bit, and that's something that we saw last year around this time as well. Usually you see it early in the year for Michigan every year, so it's about Michigan finding a way to finish. Right now, I mean, I still don't think that this is necessarily that. I don't think this necessarily looks like a team that would beat Ohio State at the moment, but I also don't think we've seen Michigan firing on all cylinders yet. Because again, unlike Ohio State, I don't think this is a team that is wanting to do that. I feel like Ohio State is kind of like, they're not saving anything. They're like, this is what we are right from game one every year, whereas Michigan's more trying to build and sometimes tries to build and it is incapable of it. Other times it builds and then falls flat in that game. And then last year it just built and continued to build. How much longer until Cade comes back? I get nervous without a guy who can step right in. I'll address that later, but because I know like 18 people asked that question. But I will also say that I don't know. So that's when I address it later. That's basically what I'm going to say. Adam Kasel at Adam_Kasel. Will you be at IU? I will be. I am at every game. Home, away, neutral. Every game. It seems like last year Michigan got back to opponent-specific offensive game plans the way they did most effectively in 15 and 16. That has continued this year. So how do you expect Michigan to attack IU? Well, right now, Indiana's defense doesn't necessarily look like it's particularly good against the run or the pass. So I think it's one of those things more so that they'll probably try to run it. And if they have any issues about that, I think especially since Indiana wants to pass like 60 times a game themselves, I think Michigan will just try to shorten the game and try to run the ball, keep possessions away from Indiana, even if Indiana can't score, but just keep the idea of them trying over and over and over again to throw the ball away and then go from there. You just don't want to play into their hands. And when you look at complementary football, I think that if they can run the ball as much as they can, they will. But I also think that this would be a good game considering the pass defense to try to pass it a little bit before you get into that Penn State game. Build a little bit of rhythm. That's what I would expect. Zanland, will Oki be the starter opposite Morris by the state game? I'm assuming you mean Michigan State. I don't know, because I think it's one of those things where he's kind of like a Josh Uche type. You put him in on pass downs. So I don't think it matters, right? But I mean, if he got better at run defense, but I think you'll see him. I mean, we saw him a lot last week. I think you'll just start seeing him more and more and more. He's kind of had his David Ojabo type performance kind of this last week. So maybe. U of M Clips and Bolts at U of M Clips Bolts. Love the Yabby story. Do you think he'll take over as a full-time starter by the state game? So same question. So I just got that. But P.S. Going to Cleveland for the first time for the Chargers game. Any recommendations? I haven't been to Cleveland. Aside from the satellite camp in 2017, which was on the outskirts, I have not been to Cleveland since my the summer before my junior year of high school. So we're talking like 1997. Or, yeah, 1997. I have no idea. Also, can you just say Grant Tuck isn't coming, please? So, Grant Tuck isn't coming. I don't know what that means, but all right. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. Do you feel like the narrative Harbaugh can't win the big game has changed? Feels like since Ohio State it has. No, because I feel like if he loses a big game, then I felt like after the bowl game, I mean, they started putting up the, you know, oh, Harbaugh's got a bad bowl record, as if playing Georgia in the college football playoff is the same as playing, you know, South Carolina in the Outback Bowl. So, no, I think it's still, it's going to be here until Michigan basically wins it all. And even then, it's going to still be, it's always going to be a thing. It would take a rattling off like two national championships in a row, maybe three, before that would die, because Paul Feinbaum and company have to have something to hang their hat on, you know? Jacob Chevarria, Jacob 1721-3950. What did the lady in Iowa yell at you while recording? Oh, I don't know. She was like another reporter. She was walking by with like her thing, and she was like, hey, she just stopped and like, and you would think, cause she's a, like, was clearly like a TV reporter type. So she knows what a stand-up looks like. We're sitting there recording and she's just like, hey, did you blah, blah, blah. And we couldn't hear. She was too far away. And we just kind of stopped and we're like, what? I have no idea. It was weird. What were your thoughts on the predictable play calling towards the ends of the game? I thought it was just Michigan was just trying to get out of Dodge. Yes, I would like to see more killer instinct, but they figured if we don't turn the ball over against Iowa, then we get out of here with a win. I can't be mad at it, to be honest. How many jobs do you have? Are you compensated for your travel mileage and lodging for away games? Have you ever been denied access to a game? I mean, technically it's two and a half. I do get paid on my personal YouTube if I do upload things. Problem is I feel like too tired out by Locked On Wolverines and Wolverines Wire to actually cut any video and do anything on there half the time. So really it's just the two, and I pay for my own everything, but it's almost always worth it to go based off of the whatever the stories that I do from the ground in the galleries and all of that, that pays for everything, pays for itself. Usually there have been times where it hasn't. I was denied access initially to the 2018 Ohio State game. They were like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I was like, what? And they're like, oh no, USA Today already has another photographer. And I'm like, wait, no, different deal. And I had to have Michigan step in and intervene. But that's the only time that I can recall that I got actually denied access to a game initially, and then it got overturned. I'm Patman at the_GD_Patman. Have you been scouting the enemy? Is Ohio State's defense really fixed in your estimation, or is this just wishful thinking on the part of their fans? A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I've seen about half their games at this point. I didn't watch last week's. I watched half of the Wisconsin game. I fell asleep. And then when I woke up, I turned it on to something else. And, I just don't think that they've played anyone that's really been able to test their defense yet. I thought it didn't look very good in the first couple games, Arkansas State, and Toledo at the beginning. I mean, they settled in, of course, but it's kind of like, wake me up when you play Maryland, I guess, but they don't play Maryland until the second to last game of the season. So I'm not sure. I don't know that. I mean, and they don't play Illinois. They don't play Minnesota, so I don't know that we'll know until Penn State, maybe Maryland. Like, this could be the reverse of what you've seen with Michigan, right? Where it's like, you know, the week before Ohio State in 2018, suddenly they found the fatal flaw. Indiana did against Michigan. Maybe Maryland does that to Ohio State. But then again, so maybe does Illinois to Michigan. Ike Hamland at Hamstand 87, Shiano or Day in a fight, who do you got? I'm not saying this just because of the Ohio State disdain, but I would take Greg Shiano. He just looks like the kind of dude I wouldn't want to trifle with. You know, he has a very serious demeanor. He looks like a mobster. So, yeah, Greg Shiano, I would not take him. But it has nothing to do with Ryan Day being an Ohio State guy. Will Mendoza at Willie Wilf 9, 5 games in. What differences are you seeing so far from a Gattis-led offense? Honestly, I mean, nothing. It looks like the same offense that we saw last year, from what I can tell. Did Josh Gattis break his career momentum by leaving for Miami? I think 100%, and I think I said that on this podcast. If I didn't, I definitely said it to other people. Thought it was really short-sighted of him to decide, I'm going to try again, because, like, okay, I understand betting on yourself, but stick it out for one more year in Ann Arbor. If you don't like it, whatever. And then you can probably go get your head coaching job. Now, where is he? He ain't going to get no head coaching job this next year. And heck, he might not even keep his offensive coordinator job there. So it was a is a bet on himself. And unfortunately, it was a bad bet. But it had, I think, less to do with him and more to do with what Miami is. Zach Van Lente at Lente Zach, how do you feel in regards to the ultra-conservative play calling in the second half? I obviously just addressed that, but three consecutive three and outs. I understand trying to run out the clock. You can still run outside and achieve that instead of drilling it up the middle over and over. Give Corum a breather or RPO. I do wish they would have done like an RPO or play action, but again, they seem to be just saving things. Who runs a fake knee? I understand a fake spike, but come on. I didn't even see that. I think I was switching sides or something like that when it happened, but it, you know, whatever. All right, finishing us out in segment two, Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. Is Mason Graham a problem for every team not named the Wolverines at this point? I mean, we'll see. He's had a couple good games. We're starting to string them together, but and obviously was really getting some stuff going there. But I don't want to go ahead and say, like, yeah, he's the real, you know. I mean, looks like the real deal, but let's wait. Wait a beat. Let's see how he does as we go on. All right. We've got 9 minutes left. I've got to tell you a little something first, and then we've got like literally like 20-something questions. We're going to rapid speed round those. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, 8 minutes left. I think literally about 20, but we're about to knock out four all at once. Five all at once. Matthew Van Epps at Matt Van Epps. Any word on Cade McNamara? Jeff Koenig? Why is Jim being so tight-lipped about Eric Gall? Clay Stokes? Injuries piling up. Wilson Colasar? Long snapper. Pharaoh J plays. Any new news on Eric Gall? Big Kev Hale. Any word on Cade? It's not an anti-JJ question. Just curious. I don't know on any of it. As far as why is Jim being so tight-lipped on Eric Gall, I would guess because he hasn't been ruled out for the season yet. But, like, it's weird. This year, he's usually proffered, hey, that guy's going to be off the season. But now Jim's starting to have this, oh, you're going to have to ask him. Which, I mean, he literally said this last week. It's not my job to tell you that. It usually has been. So, I don't know. We'll try to figure that out. But I haven't, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any other insider that's heard anything either. So, I do know that, that Trevor Keegan, now I did talk to him as I ran into him going into Schembechler Hall the other day, and he had told me that he was going to play. I think I said that on the podcast last week. So not surprised that he's back and that he's playing. All right, we're really going to rapid fire this. We might be done in before 30 if this goes the way I think. Clark at Mark_Greenlease, do you like the turnover buffs? I have no opinion whatsoever on them. If they think it's cool, that's cool. It's whatever. Todd at Toddy Brown Jr. What's a Hoosier? Historians maintain that it's an old wooden ship that was used during the Civil War era. Detroit at Lion to myself. I like it. What's going on with Nikhyle Green? Is the injury that bad? And then he asked about all. I didn't put that in the same one, but I don't think it's necessarily that bad. It's just lingering. And honestly, they haven't really needed him yet. I would bet you'll see him for Penn State. But I think the weirder thing is that he dressed for two games and then you didn't see him. Ben at BJ33S 2014. How many podcasts do you normally do a week? One through five? I mean, it varies wildly. At least one a week. Been that way for a while. It's supposed to be five a week. Doesn't always go that way. But you figure that I average 3 to 5 a week. And then I also do at least one radio appearance, if not 2, 3, or 4 radio appearances a week. So it's a lot. Nilesh Dagley at Nilesh D. Dagley. How concerned are you about the William Wagner injury? First pass, this gives me some anxiety. I mean, he's out for the year. It's been reported. Greg Tarr's a 5-star when it comes to specialist rankings. So I think that's... Hey, next man up. Obviously, Michigan's had a pretty good system, but, there could be an issue here or there. Good thing Greg Tarr is going to get his start this next week instead of having it happen against Penn State. So he can get acclimated now. Michigan primetime at U of M primetime. Would you have preferred the Michigan State or Penn State game at night? No, I prefer all games at noon because I have figured out a way to make my workday not necessarily 14 hours. Brandon Justice and I took a break after we got done with the podcast. And we left Kinnick Stadium, went and got something to eat, went back to the hotel room, and then I wrote for about 3 more hours and then went to bed. But like, I never would have been able to go out to eat and like not work in the middle of the day. So, but no, I don't want any games at night at all, period. It's just me though, because I'm selfish. Xavier Ely at Xavier Ely 105. What is one reason you at this point why you think this team can accomplish the same goals or more than last year? What's one reason you think they will not? The reason why I think they can is because I think that they have pretty much everything going for it. It's versatile across the board. And I think that this is a talented team across the board. The one reason that maybe they won't is because we haven't seen everything yet, right? There's been some struggles here and there and since Big Ten play started. But it was the same last year. And so far, I think the pass rush has been a lot better than people have given it credit for. I think that since that Maryland game, they have been close but no cigar. Finally, we saw them kind of getting there against Iowa. But near the end. But I mean, even in that first half, same thing with Maryland. People were like, oh, the pass rush, it was there. They were flushing Tagovailoa. Like every picture I had, you know, I'm focusing on the opposing quarterback. But when he's dropping back, almost every quarter picture I had as he was releasing the ball, there was a guy right in the frame. It was just about actually finishing. So the reason why I think not, I mean, part of it might just be that Ohio State might just be better. And or Michigan just lets up where they shouldn't. Partially young quarterback, maybe. Maybe it's just making a mistake. There's a lot of reasons that could go into that. Jacob Palmer at Jacob_Palmer13. What's your favorite place to have an away game at? What things make it your favorite? It's Penn State. It's not close at all. I love State College. I think it's a super fun place to visit. I love the town there. It's a beautiful campus. I'm one of the few people that likes the drive into there. I think it's really serene and beautiful, and it's a little hard to get to, but I love it. And then the atmosphere is undeniable. That is one. I prefer night games at Penn State. It's inconvenient to me as a worker, but I prefer it because the atmosphere at night is superior to their noon kicks. Because I've been to 2 noon kicks. And both of them were whiteouts. The last one kind of was like a stripe, had a stripe down the middle. And then the whiteout night games are the coolest atmosphere I've ever been a part of. I'll give second place to Nebraska. That place was sweet. Anton Sasmita Mangala. Are you surprised that the Penn State isn't a night game? I'm not as surprised because I don't think it's Michigan's choice. And I think that what's the game? There's another game that week. Like Ohio State's playing somebody. I don't remember who. So I don't know. I think it's weird that ended up being not the choice to be a night game. But I'm not surprised that Fox wanted it, and that's what happens. All right. I don't think we're going to get through all these. We're going to really have to go faster here. Raz at Razilla 411. Do you believe the return of Nakiel Green will be enough to shore up the LB's pass defense, or is more work needed? I think more work would be needed, but I'm not that disappointed in it to this point. They're going to give up some. That's just how it works. Calby at KB_Wolverines. Who will be the next man up with Caden Colasar out as the gunner? I have no idea. And what is Klatt smoking to out Michigan on an upset alert against Indiana? The one that went into overtime against Western Kentucky and took 4 quarters to beat Idaho. I don't know, man. I think it's weird that he said that as well. Ross Wank at Ross Wank. Any alternative uniforms in the works for 2022? I'm sure there are. Will the team wear all maize, all blue, or maize tops with blue pants for the maize out versus Penn State? I'm sure they'll keep that under wraps, but I'm sure they'll wear something maize in that game. It seems like that's what that's destined to be. All right, restarted the camera so we can continue this going here. MLC at Shy Scythe 80. I know it has a lot to do with the large wide receiver room, but what do you make of guys like Andrel Anthony getting so few touches? I figured he'd be right up there with Roman and Ronnie, but not so much. Some games he just wasn't open or wasn't the best option on certain plays. He's going to get his. I mean, this is a long season. You know what I mean? Like, I know we're 5/12 into the regular season, but a lot of times, even at this point, like, we don't know. For a team like Michigan, it you know, last year, A.J. Henning, Donovan Edwards, they started coming on later in the year. Roman Wilson even, but then again, that was partially due to injury. So I don't make anything of it. Guys are going to get their touches. It's just going to take some time. So far, the elder statesmen have been mostly getting it. I more would be concerned about Cornelius Johnson, who's really kind of played a disappearing act. You know? RNR underscore 91, JBOS, at Love the Five. Do you agree that it would be better to throw on first down more frequently than run on first down, say a 60-40 split? I just think the passing options are so much more varied for JJ on first down versus later downs. I have liked what they've done with it. I think as long as you can get a high percentage pass, because you don't want to be super far behind schedule. But they haven't really had to worry about it, because even when there's been an incompletion, Blake Corum has been able to get them six, so it's like 3rd and 4. So it's usually been pretty good. That's the problem, though, is if you pass it on first down and it's incomplete, now you're off schedule automatically. And so I think that as long as they keep splitting, you know, high percentage passes on first down, you know, then if you get 9 on a first down, whether it's a pass or a run, then I think you can go for it, you know, as far as like really throwing downfield. So I'm more of like a 50-50 split on that, to be honest. Don't be predictable. I prefer to run on first down personally, but that's just me. Sean, or Shane, I don't know how you say that. At Shane underscore Baldman. Do you see this week's game as a game that could be a big day for JJ in the passing offense, or they continue with what's been working and keep going run heavy? I mean, I do hope that they do work in more passing, because, again, they're going to need it, and there's no reason to just say, well, we don't need it so far. Well, you are going to need it. As a matter of fact, probably in 2 weeks, you're going to need it. So get it going, you know? You're definitely going to need it in week 12, or week 13, rather. Oh, heck, probably week 12 as well, considering Illinois held Wisconsin to 2 rushing yards. Get the passing game going. You're going to need it. And you're going to want it against Michigan State. You're doing yourself a disservice if you're not throwing against Michigan State, you know? But again, they didn't really need it this last week. And actually, it was better that they were able to run. If you can run the ball against Iowa, you do it. Brandon Blankenship at Blankenzip00. Do you have any concern about the defense's susceptibility to crossing routes this year? Seems like each one of their opponents has hit at least one for a big gain. And if Iowa and Maryland have any resemblance of success with it, what does that mean for 11-26? I'm sure they're working it out. You know, it obviously, they were really good at stopping crossing routes last year, but hitting one for a big gain. Okay, fine. When it comes to Ohio State, I'm sure they will have that fixed. Jim Harbaugh remembers what happened in 2018. I can't imagine that is going to be something that happens again. Ricky Roscoe at Ricky Roscoe Zero. Which players on Michigan do you think could be better NFL players than college football players? Example, Jalen Harrell, because of how he sets the edge, is very valuable to certain NFL teams. Yeah, I think that would be one. I would say Mike Morris as well. I could see his ascent becoming more and more. I'm just trying to think here. I don't have a really good answer to that. I mean, Luke Schoonmaker, I could see Luke Schoonmaker being like an incredible pro. I think that he I could see suddenly being like a big time pro. Same with Eric Gull. That's where I'll just leave it there. Carly Ray Flexen at Diet Barbecue Sauce. And I meant to put this at the top. Somehow I put it at the bottom. This is our last question. Not football related, but is Meridional the best album by Norma Jean? Listen, I'm new to Norma Jean. When I say new, I started listening to him in 2019. So for me, it's All Hail. And I don't really care as much for the new one that just came out. But it's All Hail. What's the one before? It wasn't Meridional, I don't think, right? Those are the two that I like the most from Norma Jean. But I appreciate that there's another Norma Jean listener out there. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Somehow we went over. And with this camera, not the one I rented, I have to stop and restart. But anyway, that is going to do it for today. Probably no Friday preview just because it's another travel day. I'm not doing a second one today. We will do one either Saturday or Sunday. That is a promise. That is a fact. I like that we're doing one in the aftermath of the game. So either I'll do it from the field or I will do it when I get home the next morning. So we'll see which day. It kind of just depends on how the workflow goes. But thanks for watching and or listening. We'll be back over the weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.